This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, April 28th, brought to you by Robble AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. CARB bans diesel-powered trains. DPR issues options for mill overhaul. Republicans take aim at CCC and an update on climate project progress. CARB passes train ZEV rule despite food fears. The Air Resources Board approved a regulation yesterday to ban diesel-powered locomotives more than 23 years old by 2030. Those trains can still switch to diesel once they leave the state. Many environmental justice and community advocates from the San Joaquin Valley backed the mandate, decrying cancer rates from bad air. The California Grain and Feed Association raised alarms over potential service disruptions with the rule. The industry is responsible for just 0.4% of the emissions of the state, less than a Class 1 locomotive, argued lobbyist Dennis Albani. Electrification would be infeasible, he explained, since operation typically have just 24 hours to unload 100 cars, leaving insufficient charge time. It also requires low torque for repeating pulling and idling. He requested an exemption until 2027. Board member Eric Guerrera responded that the regulation has flexibility to work on that, though he emphasized the importance of food and ag to staff. Guerrera, who was appointed to the board in January and grew up a farm worker in a farm worker family, argued regulations have been effective at cleaning up crop dusters and banning open ag burning. Yet disruptions can lead to higher food prices for working families. Keep in mind, Chair Lonnie Randolph said California is, quote, moving toward a future where all transportation operations in the state will be zero emissions. Soon after passing the regulation, the board began taking testimony on its advanced clean fuels rule, which would ban the sale of diesel-powered trucks by 2036. It will vote on that proposal today. DPR releases proposals for mill feed overhaul. The Department of Pesticide Regulation yesterday published a report examining options for increasing or redesigning the mill assessment on pesticide sales. DPR paid a private consulting firm to solicit input for stakeholders and draft the recommendations. California Farm Bureau Administrator Jim Houston lambasted the approach, arguing that hiring an intermediary puts a barrier between the agency and the public, and that DPR paid for the firm to find a path to a predetermined outcome. According to DPR Director Julie Henderson, stakeholder consultation is critical to informing the structure and implementation of necessary long-term funding for the department. Crow LLP is taking feedback through the end of May to inform its final recommendations to DPR. The firm will host a webinar and Q&A session next month. Remember, DPR gained $5 million from the legislature to produce the study after lawmakers rejected its proposal to overhaul the mill fees. The agency hopes to incorporate a tiered mill structure, raising fees higher for pesticides deemed hazardous. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Robo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.roboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Robo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Vilsack's CCC Authority and the Crosshairs. A key House Republican wants to reinstate a restriction on USDA's use of its commodity credit corporation. Representative Andy Harris, who chairs the House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee, claims Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack misused the CCC to fund the $3 billion Partnerships and Climate Smart Commodities Initiative. My intention is to return the Commodity Credit Corporation to its core function, Harris said in an interview with AgriPulse newsmakers. Congress imposed the restriction during the Obama administration, but removed it in 2018 as then-President Donald Trump ramped up his trade war with China. Trump subsequently used the CCC to provide billions in trade assistance to U.S. farmers as compensation for China's retaliatory tariffs. We have to pull some of that authority back into Congress where it belongs, Harris said. Now take note. Harris would likely have trouble getting his Senate counterparts to agree to a CCC restriction, but this issue could well surface in the Farm Bill debate as well because of the potential budget savings it would yield. Vilsack has strenuously defended the legal basis for his use of the CCC, most recently in an exchange with Harris at a March 30 hearing. Vilsack notes that he spent far less from the account than his predecessor, Sonny Perdue, did. The CCC is a revolving account used for a range of purposes, including disaster assistance and purchases of surplus commodities. This week's newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. Some Climate Smart project signups expected this spring. Producer signups for those Climate Smart projects should start by this spring, a department spokesperson says. USDA yesterday announced a learning network that will be part of the initiative, which is aimed at developing markets for commodities that can be marketed as low carbon. USDA, quote, currently has executed 35 grant agreements from the first funding pool, with over 10 more grant agreements that have completed negotiations and are in final review, said the spokesperson. 70 projects totaling $2.8 billion are in the first funding pool. Multiple grant agreements in the second funding pool are also close to being finalized, the spokesperson said. That pool has 71 projects, for which $325 million has been allocated. Companies agree to mitigation for insecticide. EPA says registrants of the herbicide diazinon have agreed to implement mitigation measures to reduce occupational risk. Drexel and Adama U.S. agreed to the measures following the release of an occupational risk assessment that found the organophosphate insecticide posed potential risk of concern to workers who mix, load, and apply the pesticide, and to bystanders, including farm workers, who could be exposed to spray drift, EPA said. Among the steps being taken, cancellation of aerial applications, backpack and mechanically pressurized handgun applications, and wettable powder formulation, the agency said. The companies also committed to spray drift reduction measures, including buffer restrictions for residential and institutional sites to reduce exposure to bystanders. And more on the way. EPA is also working with registrants of three other organophosphates, ethoprop, tribufos, and fosamet, ahead of the registration review schedule to mitigate for worker exposure. World Bank forecasts continued fertilizer price relief. The World Bank is projecting continued declines in fertilizer costs through 2024. The bank's latest commodity markets forecast says, following an expected 37% increase in 2023, the fertilizer price index is projected to fall by 7% in 2024 as supply disruptions gradually ease and energy input prices fall, but the index remains at high levels. The fertilizer index dropped 18% in 2022, but it's still well above the pre-pandemic level. DAP prices are forecast down 24.9% this year, while potassium chloride or potash prices expected to decline 45%. Prices for grains and other ag commodities are expected to decline 7% this year and likely fall again in 2024. FAO sounds alarm over coming of El Niño, the La Niña global weather pattern that brought drought to the Horn of Africa is gone, but the UN Food and Agriculture Organization is already preparing for the coming of El Niño, the meteorological event that pushes weather patterns in the opposite direction of La Niña is imminent and threatens Central America, Far East Asia, the Caribbean, northern parts of South America, and Southern Africa. Early warnings mean that we have to take early and anticipatory action, and we will support our members in these efforts to the full extent resources allow, said Rain Paulson, head of FAO's Office for Emergencies and Resilience. El Niño, caused by the warming of waters in the Pacific Ocean, is expected to begin causing drought, flooding, and storms as early as June, according to FAO. Finally, here's today's He Said It. I'm sure your sugar high may have worn off by now. That FDA Commissioner Robert Califf speaking to the Center for Science and the Public Interest Sugar Reduction Summit. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, April 28th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.